Allow me to begin with a story, a true story about loaves of bread. You see, once upon a time, many years ago, well, actually 50 years ago this summer, I worked in a supermarket outside of Philadelphia. The chain was called the Acme. Some of you may know it's still around, the Acme food chain. I worked there part-time, 4 years during my college years. And one of my jobs, besides being a checker in a supermarket, was being in charge of the bread. So you might say I had the honor of being the bread boy. And so often on Saturday mornings, I would report to work at 7 a.m. and put the loaves of bread in all sizes and types. I put the loaves, about 50 loaves, at the first wave at 7 a.m. Then later in the day, another 50 loaves. There was the standard size 24 slice, 1 pound. Then there was the half loaf, 12 slices. And there were loaves of wheat bread, pumpernickel, and my favorite, Jewish rye bread. Generally, I had a rhythm down of putting breads and pastries all over. And if I had a favorite person, I made sure that they got the Jewish apple cake, my favorite. Now back then, some of you may remember that the price of a loaf of bread was 24 cents. It's a long time ago. Thinking about that, about the other prices. In those days, in 1968, the price of a gallon of gas was 32 cents. Gallon of milk was $1.10. And eggs, 62 cents on the average. Now think about that the next time you go to the supermarket. Generally, it's 10 times as much now. It was also back in those days that supermarkets were generally closed on Sundays, which meant that when the stores closed on Saturday evening around 6, it would not be open till Monday morning, which meant the loaves of bread would be called day old and be reduced half price to sell. Now, I had a nice store manager who generally said to the employees, if we had a lot of loaves left over, to say, look, for $1, he would say, you can fill the bag, regular bag, for as many loaves of bread that you would like, and occasionally a cherry pie or a Jewish apple cake or something like that. So I would come home to my family with a fair number of maybe 5 or 6 loaves of bread after carefully packing them, much more than my family needed. My mother, who was a night nurse, noticed this, and she would ask me, would I take an extra 2 or 3 loaves so that she would give them to her friend Helen, Myrtle her name was, who would work with my mother at night. And Helen Myrtle had several children she was raising alone as a single parent. And so I had a routine of giving this Mrs. Myrtle loaves of bread. Fast forward 50 years. This past fall, when preparing for a Sunday Mass, I learned that the altar girl, sixth grader who was serving the Mass, her mother grew up in Philadelphia area, and that her great-grandmother was a nurse who happened to be a woman named Helen Myrtle. And so a month later, this altar girl introduced me to her grandfather, who was one of Helen's sons. And there I heard the story from his perspective. Yes, he had heard of Mrs. Gillespie, and he had heard of her son would give these loaves of bread. And it sort of completed the circle. But there was another addition. What a privilege it was that here I would serve Mass with Helen Myrtle's great-granddaughter. And she was the altar server, helping me distribute another type of bread, indeed, the bread of life. It gave me that I introduced this story to give you a way in which God works mysteriously over years, sometimes 50 years, but really saying, There is the physical nourishment of bread, of loaves of bread and fishes. But just indeed more significantly, there's the spiritual nourishment of the bread of life. The story of the loaves and the fishes is just that. It is a very important story. Indeed, it is told six times, the loaves and fishes, six times in the New Testament. Each of the four gospel writers tell a story about it. And today, and for the next two Sundays, John chapter 6, the sixth chapter of John's gospel, talks about the loaves and fishes. Why? Because this is an essential part of our faith life. For you see, the early Christian community, it was a way for them to see Christ's presence among them. Each time they broke bread together. In other words, the Eucharist. And it wasn't just the Last Supper being conveyed. This was the story that was told and retold down the generations to make them aware of Christ's presence among them each time they broke and shared the bread together. And preparing to share this bread, the early believers, the early Christians, would often incorporate the practice of abstaining and fasting before receiving the Eucharist so that they could be more in touch with their hungers and the hungers of their family and the hungers of the world, so as to more fully experience the nourishment of the bread of life. Down through the ages, my brothers and sisters, the church has incorporated the practices of abstaining and fasting so that we could be nourished more fully. Lent, of course, is a time for such abstinence and fasting. But in the church's tradition, it is not only the only time. Monks and nuns in convents do this on a regular basis, abstaining and fasting. St. Ignatius recommends it when men and women go on retreat to develop disciplines of fasting and abstinence. But one need not be in a monastery or a convent or on retreat to exercise the disciplines of abstinence and fasting to prepare for the Eucharist. Indeed, in this common church practice, each time before Mass, people are encouraged to fast for at least 1 hour to prepare to receive the Eucharist, to experience the spiritual nourishment of the Eucharist more fully. Moreover, at times of personal decision or during a time of crisis, the discipline of abstinence and fasting may be especially called for. Pope Francis, to this point, says, fasting makes sense. It really chips away at our security and as an ego security. And as a consequence, benefits someone else if it helps us to cultivate the style of the Good Samaritan who bent down to his brother in need and took care of them. The Pope continued, fasting should exercise the heart in order to recognize what is absolutely essential and to teach one to share with others. It is a sign of becoming aware of and taking responsibility for injustice and oppression, especially among the poor and the least. And it is a sign of the trust we place in God and God's providence. My brothers and sisters, our world is experiencing a host of crises. Some parishioners have asked me who are from Nicaragua for special prayers for the people in the church in Nicaragua who literally have been attacked. The church is in crisis there. 300 have been killed and church leaders are in jeopardy. Or we can look at the issues surrounding our nation and our borders and the separation of families. There is ways of looking at sacrificing. Perhaps of fasting and abstinence. But most especially in our own Archdiocese of Washington, when the story surrounding Cardinal McCarrick has demoralized so many. In this week's parish bulletin, I address the issue in some detail, quoting Cardinal O'Malley of Boston of how do we respond. And so I'm suggesting that one of the ways to respond in your own, whatever the issue that is close to your heart, is to fast and abstain as a way of connecting with those who are being severely affected by war or poverty or the issue of clergy sexual abuse. Whatever the issue, personal, social, or ecclesiological, the nourishment of the Eucharist is there to encourage us to believe that God is with us. We choose in preparing to receive the bread of life so we can enhance our faith and to enhance our capacity to make the connections necessary. Indeed, it is the connections that our imagination invites us to see how we are connected to our brothers and sisters in need, wherever, whenever, that we are not alone. For indeed, whether the story begins this year or 50 years from now, it is offering us what happened 2,000 years ago, that the followers gathered around a hillside along the Sea of Galilee to be nourished, that their hunger was indeed satisfied, that the hungers of the human family then, now, and forever will be satisfied by the gift that we share with one another, the gift of the bread of life.